Warning, the following is not for entertainment purposes only. Any defamation of real persons, living or dead, is purely intentional. Copying, distribution, retransmission, or modification of information or materials on this program is without express prior written permission from anyone ever. Unauthorized duplication and distribution may result in civil liberties through criminal enterprise. By any means necessary, please try this at home. Listener discretion is personal. Listen at your own risk.
You're listening to the premiere of Inconsiderate, the anti-social audio show. Our debut episode starts off with Nothing Matters News, and if you can manage to sit through that, there's also Fuck the World, an examination of toddlers and tiaras. We also do some field reporting, asking citizens what they hate most about their daily lives and who they'd like to kill. We'll spotlight cell phone jammers as this episode's bad idea for you and your stupid friends to try, and present a guided murder meditation, finishing off with an embarrassingly dramatic reading from an illegalist piece called Toward the Creative Nothing. First, let's try and sit through Nothing Matters News.
When you stare into the news stares back. Caution, you're about to enter the no future zone. Nothing Matters News starts now, because nothing's news under the sun.
Recently, there have been a bunch of robberies being committed with realistic Hollywood-style masks. They are made by a company called SPFX, and they're so realistic that in one of the robberies, somebody was arrested for resembling one of the masks that was used.
It's something you would see in a Hollywood movie.
After five banks were robbed last Friday, he was described as a bald black male with acne scars. But there's a twist.
The suspect in the scene in the surveillance photographs and that we were looking for, we believed to be an African-American male. Suspect is actually a male white who was wearing an elaborate disguise.
In Cincinnati, Ohio, police arrested an African-American man. They got picked out of a photo lineup by several of the people present at the robbery. And also, his own mother said it was him in the surveillance video. So, in this situation, not only do you have your own mom snitching on you, but she's snitching on you for a white guy that's wearing a mask for a robbery that you did not commit. And so, when I think about being in this situation, I want to ask, would you beat your mom's ass for snitching on you? Do mama snitches get mama stitches? The irony here is that police are so often stereotyped as looking for this elusive archetypal black male suspect for various crimes. So I can't even fathom the embarrassment for all the parties involved when a white guy wears a mask that puts police on the trail of a fictitious black man and the cops catch and arrest a real black man. So I can only imagine their disappointment when they find out it was just a big elaborate episode of Scooby-Doo they were all starring in.
We recovered a mask, which is a, I would term it as a Hollywood quality special effects mask that cost in the range of $600 to $700, which covers the entire head and neck.
Police also recovered marked money from one of the bank robberies, clothing that matched the original description, and noticed red dye stains in his vehicle. Zerdiak is now facing 6 counts of aggravated robbery that include banks in Springfield Township, Woodlawn, Springdale, Forest Park, and a CVS in Springfield Township. Zerdiak also robbed a Forest Park bank on April 5th.
If you're trying to be all Tom Cruise and shit, the mask company actually works with the cops and the feds when they see that one of their products has been used in a crime or a robbery.
Well, we were in contact with law enforcement and tried to participate in the way we could, you know, to help out. And they caught the guy, luckily, before it hurt somebody.
The man claimed to be a film producer and wanted the mask and matching hands for a movie. He was arrested and pleaded guilty to 6 counts of robbery.
Another instance of these masks is a trio of people who use them to look like white cops. If you see the surveillance photos, they really do look like white cops robbing a place. Except for one of them was wearing a mask that was crafted to resemble wrestler Bill Goldberg. I suspect that it actually could have been wrestler Bill Goldberg trying to compensate by being a badass for playing an embarrassing wrestling character on television for so long. Unlike the innocent black man that they arrested for resembling one of the masks, Bill Goldberg and his two henchmen are still on the loose. And in one more robbery, the police were looking for an elderly male suspect. Once again, they found out it was another instance of somebody wearing one of the SPFX masks.
One case in particular is closer to home. The so-called Geezer Bandit has been striking banks in Southern California. And though investigators originally suspected an elderly man was behind the holdups, now the FBI is looking into the possibility it's a younger man.
Yeah, maybe this guy is the elusive archetypal black male suspect you're always looking for.
They were very proud of the fact that our masks look completely real, but not proud of the way they were used.
All right, so some inmates in Vermont were assigned and trusted with the duty of producing and designing the car decals for some cop cars. The emblem traditionally features some cows on it, and one of the inmates took this opportunity to send her captors a message.
Take a good look at the cow in the state police emblem. Now closer, and closer.
Come closer.
What is it?
Closer.
Yes?
Closer.
A prison industries worker morphed a spot into a pig. Some people have taken offense, but for many, including State Senator John Campbell, the jokes are flying.
This ex-cop and senator of the area took the slide on the chinny chin chin and rolled with the punches.
It's just like, where's Waldo? We're going to say, where's the pig? Some say give him more time, or others say give him the Artist of the Year award. I think it shows a little creativity.
We're not insecure about the fact that we have the best state police force in the country. We know that. We also have a sense of humor. We're going to move forward.
Vermont State Police pride themselves on their courage and integrity.
Speaking of courage and integrity, notice he said he should win an award for best artist. But it was female inmates responsible for making the decals.
Female inmates working in a state prison workshop back in 2008 printed up decals for the sides of state cruisers. And one prisoner apparently morphed a spot on a cow in Vermont's coat of arms into a pig. 30 police cars carried the prank for at least a year.
That aside, all you fiery protesters better change your game. The pig gig is up.
The term pig used to be very degrading in the force, but over the years, it's kind of softened.
It became more of a kind of a funny thing. In fact, we used to have our football games where we play the state police against the local police would be called the Pig Bowl. It was not anything offensive, and I haven't spoken to any of the other troops on the ground, but I would hope that they would not take it as an insult.
They were labeled porkers on their own cars.
But if you're clinging to the hope of being able to yell, some officers are still a little sensitive about it and love pointing out that they have a way to punish you for it anyway.
The Vermont State Police refused to grant interviews about this, saying it would only further dishonor the force and its past and current members. But in a brief written statement, they said that this prank comes at the expense of taxpayers, who will have to foot the bill to replace the decals.
The police are in the process of removing the doctored logos. Corrections Commissioner Andy Polito is now asking who the computer-savvy convict was and how her graphic design talents managed to subvert everyone.
Vermont State Police are working to identify the individual responsible for the artistry. Still, VSP says they've destroyed any remaining pig stickers.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
A bank in Chino, California was robbed by a badass wearing body armor and wielding an automatic weapon. He or an accomplice called in a bomb threat from a payphone by the bank.
He was seen wearing a ski mask, wearing body armor, and carrying an assault rifle, much like an AK-47 with a rounded magazine. They tell us that the gunman likely planned this bank heist in advance and that he did it by placing a phony phone call first into the 911. The call came from a payphone near the bank.
Police released a 911 call they believe was designed to be a diversion.
The 911 call is a little hard to hear, so what he says is, "Okay, I have a bomb," and he gives the location, and then he says, "This is not a drill. Do you hear me? I have a bomb and I'm going to explode it."
Is this the Chino Police Department?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I have a bomb, and there's one at the closest street candidate. This is not a drill, do you hear me? There's a bomb and I'm going to explode it.
Even though the diversion had many police officers at the location of the alleged bomb threat, one happened to be doing a safety check at the bank being robbed.
But they say one thing he wasn't planning on was encountering a Chino police officer.
Drop the gun, punk!
That individual immediately opened up, began firing at the officer's patrol car, striking the patrol car several times.
The wounded officer managed to drive his bullet-riddled patrol car to the Chino Valley Medical Center for help.
The officer saw the robber as he was leaving. The badass made off with the money.
Write this down.
In a car with California plates on one side and Arizona plates on the other. I have some bad news and I have some good news about this situation. We'll go ahead with the bad news first.
Now, we do also want to mention that the officer who was wounded is in stable condition.
But there's a silver lining.
He is still on the loose and considered armed and dangerous.
Yay!
Alright, that does it for Nothing Matters News. Up next is our Fuck the World feature, an examination of the television show Toddlers and Tiaras.
Do you think dressing up little girls in $1,000 dresses might be kinda cute and at least somewhat justifiable? Do you hate the little gap in kids' teeth they get when they lose their baby teeth and wish you could give all children fake ones so the potential of their smiles could be brought to life? Would you ever enter your child into a beauty pageant? Do you think it's cute to dress up your daughter as a policeman or maybe another good role model like Julia Roberts in the movie Pretty Woman?
Here comes Pretty Woman!
They dressed Paisley up like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman as a prostitute.
Or Lady Gaga and parade her in front of judges while instructing her on how to shake her ass? If you answered yes to any of these questions, stop listening now, go to the medicine cabinet, pour out all the pills, and swallow them. No medicine cabinet in sight? That's okay. Go to the nearest busy street, wait for a good line of cars, and walk straight in front of them. You can send your suicide notes to the Inconsiderate Audio Show website and take your last breath knowing that you made at least one person happy. Me. If you answered yes but are still insistent on your meaningless, horrible, extended existence, start an abortion fund now. If you're already pregnant, find a fucking abortion doctor.
Why is it such a big issue with us pageant moms?
In my masochistic binge, I have, for the last 6 weeks, devoted several hours a night to watching one of the newest reality TV specials called Toddlers and Tiaras on TLC, which is here to show us just what it is like inside the minds of the children and parents of the pageant princesses. Girls starting off at age 6 months are entered into beauty pageants by their fucking mothers. At about age 3 and up, these girls are then entered into what is known as the glitz section of the pageants.
One of the things that's been very controversial about your success is this.
For these wonderful sections, most if not all fucking parents spray tan, give their daughters fake teeth called flippers to enhance their smiles.
And put on my flipper for my big smile.
Flippers are fake teeth. Carmen doesn't necessarily need a flipper. She has a beautiful smile. But it was brought to my attention by her coach that you just can't see her teeth because they're so tiny. So we ordered a flipper, and it's actually helped her win titles.
Manicures, diets, hours of training, dresses that cost thousands of dollars, cake on makeup so thick the kids could pass out, and train these girls how to blow kisses and win the perverted judges' hearts. Instead of going into a detailed analysis of why competition, which poses girls too young to even be able to read against each other, and the basis of physical fucking beauty in order to win more money for their fucking rich asshole parents.
When Marley was born, the first thing I told my husband, yay, we got us a pageant girl.
Or give you a radical perspective on why fake teeth and fake tans for three-year-olds might be a little disturbing.
She was off, way off. She was a little off with her routine, her rhythm, and some of her steps.
I love for her to do pageants because of the look that I see on her face when she does win.
I'm smiling on the inside.
I'm going to assume you're listening because you aren't a fucking idiot and suggest a creative, inconsiderate idea of what you can do in response. Find a pageant happening in your area. A list of upcoming ones will be provided on the website to make it fucking easy for you, but a quick Google search will make this just as simple. Get a few friends together. Have a stealing scavenger hunt. Collect things in a basket of the most fucked up things possible to give a pageant mother. Should bring her to tears, cause her to hurt you, or even better, herself. Some ideas after hours of time spent watching the show were coat hangers labeled, "You should have used this," followed by a gun labeled, "Since you didn't use this, do your kids a favor and use this now on yourself." Lose weight fast powder, with contents replaced with some lethal or miserable poison. Stress relief cream, with contents also replaced, of course, with acid or some other horrifying, painful product. A CD labeled, "Relaxing Sounds to Meditate To," with recordings of you screaming "fuck you, kill yourself" over and over and over. Or, you get the idea. Create an exciting package for a pageant participant. I envision something that includes written bits on why it is great they hate their moms, and tools and tips on how to express those feelings.
Why are you being so contrary today?
Mommy, I'm just tired. Well, I'm starving.
These are likely some of the most fucked up kids in their generation. Let's encourage them not to hide it.
When I don't win, I feel guilty because it just makes you feel like you really didn't practice that hard for it.
Beauty is so boring. I don't want to do it.
Do you hate when your mom pulls on your hair for hours just so you can win her money? Here's a razor and scissors. Cutting your hair can be fun, and they can also be used as a weapon to hurt your mommy.
She can't have big hair with her little tiny bit of hair, so we use the hair pieces to just add on to her beauty.
Do I look as beautiful as you? Thank you. Okay.
Preparing for the pageant requires time and patience. Hair lasting around an hour and 45 minutes.
Are you tired of getting spray tans? Ask your mom to show you what grown-up tanning beds are like. Once she is in, use this chain and lock to keep her in there forever. I'm sure you all can come up with creative ideas on your own on what to include in these baskets. Take said baskets and deliver them to the appropriate people. If this is done effectively, you should have caused enough of a distraction during the pageant to go and steal all the money from the registration tables. These pageants cost thousands of fucking dollars after all.
The dress cost me, it was about $2,000. Certain stones were right over $100.
Beauty pageants are one of the fastest growing businesses in America, grossing over $5 billion.
As pageant moms already take a huge rap for what we're doing to our little girls.
You don't want to do it? You don't want to win a crown?
I take pageants pretty seriously. The biggest mistake that some beginners make, they think that their child can just go up on stage and just shine.
Fuck you, kill yourself. 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 Fuck you, kill yourself.
When I don't win, I feel guilty. 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 When I don't win, I feel guilty.
Some inconsiderate field operatives went out and did some on-site reporting at the local shopping center. We were harassing the general public about what they hate most about their daily lives, and if they could kill anyone without ramifications, who would it be? Most popular answer for what they hate most about their daily lives is just waking up in general. And the unsurprising but also unamusing most popular answer for who they would like to kill is Justin Bieber. First up, we're going to play for you the answers of what people hate most about their daily lives.
Work.
Waking up in the morning.
Traffic. Traffic in Phoenix.
The smog.
I don't know, maybe that, like, the bus schedules and stuff, they'll just randomly not be there and be like, we got to be somewhere. But no, the bus people just like to riot for more benefits that they don't even need. So, yeah.
That person was referencing a bus worker's strike. Unfortunately, not a riot.
Republicans, because they're fucking me over?
My life's pretty good, thanks.
I don't use the word hate.
Okay, what do you dislike most? What would you like to change most?
Change both. My health.
Your health?
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber? Are you serious?
Pop culture.
Pop culture? You. Justin Bieber. Two for Justin Bieber. All right.
How much of a pain in the ass it is now these days to be able to live.
Fucking hey. No, I hear you on that
well,
one.
Well, make it cheaper to live. That's for fucking sure.
That's a pleasure.
Not have
that's
to work good. Yourself to death. No.
School.
School? School? What would you rather do than go to school?
Stay home.
Stay home? You want to go out and explore, adventure, something? You just want to stay home, relax?
Yes.
Right on, man.
Getting caught shoplifting.
Yeah. Good fucking answer. Yes.
Probably not having a job. Just money in general.
I don't really hate anything about my daily life.
Okay.
What about money? People coming up to me and asking me questions. Okay. No, money's doing fine.
Money's
so.
Doing fine, all right. Well, you have a great day, sir. Enjoy your money.
Said I do the same thing over and over. I hate that I seem to land right where it takes to be
constantly in the same position.
Yes, sir, we're doing.
Parents.
Parents? Okay. Okay. What about you?
School.
School.
School. How am I waking up early?
Waking up.
Waking up?
Or
how about you?
No pot.
Or having no pot.
The stress that I deal with the average people just walking, just going shopping, just average everyday stress. Arguing about unnecessary things,
yeah.
Anything. Just
anything.
Stress.
Yeah. Okay, right on.
Waking up.
Waking up? What would make waking up not suck?
Skydiving without a parachute.
Skydiving without a parachute, right?
Oh, not having enough money to complete the day.
Getting up in the morning.
Getting up every morning? That's like the most popular, but you two, it's the most popular answer we've had.
And I have to get up at the same time every day.
Be able to do whatever you want, get up whenever. Right on.
There's no accountability, man. Nobody's taking responsibility for what's going on out here, man.
Fucking hell. What would you like to do to change it? Anything, no ramifications. You can do something to change it.
Totally legalize marijuana and let everybody have all they want to smoke.
Camera? All right, so Justin Bieber made the list for what people hate most about their daily lives, and what I hated most about our field reporting is having to air that answer. He also makes several appearances as an answer for the question, who you would most like to kill.
Whoever's in charge of the Pfizer Pharmaceutical Corporation.
All right.
My dad.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Legal or not? We round up all the Republicans and make them force them to live a day in the life of my shoes.
Kill every third person in line in front of me at Walmart.
Oh my god, that's a little hard question. I'm not trying to kill anybody. Who would you like to kill? We don't want to kill anybody.
No one's specific. I can't think of anybody I'd want to kill.
Yeah?
Sometimes my husband.
Quick answer. First answer.
Justin Bieber.
Could I run a lotto?
Anybody deserve it?
Anybody who deserves it?
Everyone in the rap industry.
Everyone in the rap industry.
Oh, that's true.
Wow. If so, you'll be the third.
Afghanistan, Iran, and Iraq.
The leaders of Afghanistan, Iran, and Iraq. Why?
I hate them.
You hate them? Any reason that you're interested to give?
Because I want to go to war, man.
Because you want to go to war. All right.
I'm going to war. I have no choice.
You're going to war. You have no choice.
Drafting.
Yeah. Okay.
You heard correctly. That kid just claimed to have been drafted to have to go kill the leaders of Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan.
There's only two people in the world I've always wanted to get rid of.
Okay.
Justin Bieber
Justin
and George
Bieber.
W.
All right.
Junior.
George W.
George W. Junior. Yeah, well, George W. sucked dick.
Totally.
That's a pretty big list to go through. I think Dr. Dre needs to go.
Dre, huh? All right. Any reason why? I'm just personally curious about that one.
I don't know. It's like I've talked to a lot of people. They never really knew him for his music until like his headphones started coming out. I think people like his headphones more than they do his music. And the guy knows his music is horrible now these days, so he's like, all right, we'll make headphones because people need to listen to music somehow.
Now, we here at Inconsiderate, we don't apologize for much, but I would like to formally apologize for giving that guy so much time to talk. But hearing somebody ramble on strangely about how they want to kill Dr. Dre for his headphones was a refreshing change of pace from the answer Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber? Right.
I don't know anybody that I'd kill,
right on.
Tell you the truth.
Oh,
Joseph Kony.
Who?
Joseph Kony.
Who would it be? I don't know. I wouldn't say who. I would say what. And I would I would say dictatorship.
You would kill dictator? Awesome.
All dictators.
All dictators.
All dictatorship.
That's brilliant, man. Thank you so much.
We really like this next guy, so we wanted to go ahead and play his whole uncut answers to the interview.
We're just asking people questions for an internet radio show we're doing. Could you tell me what you hate most about your day-to-day life, if you don't mind?
Getting up in the morning.
Getting up in the morning? Right on. What would you like to do to change that, to make getting up in the morning not bad?
Keep sleeping.
Keeps. Right on. Right on. Yeah, anything. Yeah. You can do anything that would
smoke
make
a joint and smoke a joint and lay back down.
You could kill anybody in the world without any consequences. It's just fine. Who would it be?
A fly.
A fly?
Yeah. That's picking on my nose while I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Fucking A, man. You have a great day, man. Thank you.
Then we ran into a guy who claimed to be an ex-cop. He started talking about all the corruption in the force that he worked at, so we started secretly recording him, and this is what we got.
When you worked at the police, was there a lot of corruption within the police?
We all just watched that.
Yeah?
And I thought, for the sake of...
How bad were they? Like, what kind of shit...
Well, we're in San Diego, so we're close to the border.
Right.
So we deal with a lot of drugs.
A lot of drugs?
Yeah.
With the cops?
With all the people.
We're talking, everybody's running around with a joint in their fucking mouth.
We know where to get the best dope. Because we bust it.
I believe you.
My wife and I used to get stoned every night going,
Who'd you bust today? Nobody.
And then we got kicked the fuck out, so we left.
Yeah, so we're just going to ask you guys to leave.
Because I can, because no one can stop me, because it makes up for things I lost, because I'm addicted to bad ideas and all the beauty in this world. Because I can, because no one can stop me, because it makes up for things I lost, because I'm addicted.
Every episode of Inconsiderate, we're going to try and feature a new bad idea for you and your stupid friends to try. This episode's bad idea is cell phone jammers. They're available online for an amount I'd never be able to afford without swapping credit cards with a friend and reporting them stolen. They cost about $200, or a little bit less than that. But the more I imagine the possibilities, the more having one might appear to pay off, if used in tandem with other bad ideas.
You're in public trying to use your cell phone. Suddenly, your signal drops. Not because you're in a dead zone, but because someone doesn't want to hear you talk. So they jam your signal with a cell phone jammer.
The mainstream media was doing a report on this because they came across a guy who was using a jammer on a bus to interrupt calls just because they were ruining his poor day or whatever.
And within minutes, he zapped our cell phone and everyone else's on the bus.
This got me thinking a little bit more about potentially fruitful opportunities to implement this device. So pay attention.
Drexel University's Dr. Robert DeVideo works with cell phone forensics and electronic crime. DeVideo says some cell phone jammers can stop GPS, two-way radios, and can even block police radio if they are close enough.
Cutting off communication by not only our public safety officials to their dispatch centers, but also cutting off the public's communication to 911. Communication to 911 can be a dangerous thing.
Of course, these things have much potential for thorning the side of social order, so they're illegal.
The NBC 10 investigators checked with the FCC. They say owning or using a cell phone jammer is illegal. But the law is very clear. According to the federal law, it's illegal to use, own, buy, or sell a cell phone jammer.
Cell phone jammers are illegal because of the public safety concern.
While illegal, if some twerpy duck fart with a pet peeve about calls on a bus could order one online, keep it and use it for a while, use it every day on the same bus ride as a matter of fact, and was only discovered because a news reporter happened to take that bus to work and saw him use it, I can't see any reason why one of these couldn't be used with a little more tact and style.
Not if we jam it.
Aha! You're right!
Down scope!
Radar about to be jammed!
Sir, the radar, sir, it appears to be jammed! Jammed.
Because I'm addicted to bad ideas and all the beauty in this world. Because I can, because no one can stop me.
And now, calm your nerves a little bit for the excruciatingly long and slow piece called Murder, a Guided Meditation. For more works by the presenter, go to squee.anarchyplanet.org.
This is a guided meditation to purify the root chakra. Close your eyes and get comfortable. It doesn't matter how you're sitting. We will begin shortly. Notice your breath, the waves of universal energy flowing through your nose and out your mouth. Feel the energy moving through you, nurturing your whole body, every muscle, every organ, every cell. You are a child of the cosmos. Let your legs relax, your stomach and back, your shoulders and arms, your neck, and all of the tiny muscles in your face. Take a few moments to just be. Begin to focus your energy on your perineum. Imagine a white, pulsating orb of glowing in, around, and through your taint. Let it just fade away on its own, and know that you are being watched over by something much greater than you yourself. We're going to find a place now where you can experience your new self, your higher self. Let yourself be taken by this greater force into a small room. The air is still, television light flickering. Notice the person sitting next to you. Feel your empathic connection with them. They're here to help you. Feel the layers of their being, the strong, mechanical motions of their body, the projection of their loving spirit, the stream of thoughts flowing through their consciousness. They are talking to you. Words which seem to speak from the body, shut off from the spirit and the consciousness. The words mean nothing to you. You can't hear them, but they feel stupid. Notice your hands. They're anxiously cradling a knife. It's a knife you know that feels like an old friend. And you're staring at the idiot next to you, blathering. Take a moment to remember that you're safe. The only things in the world are you, the room and the objects in it, this person next to you, and the admixture of dark and light energy tingling your senses. Now notice the layers of your being as they begin to disappear. No more thinking, no outward cast of emotion filling the aether, just your body. Its itches, urges to move, vital kinetic power, and your eyes harden on the sight of the person next to you, without thought, as they stare forward, still talking to no one. Watch your hand gently slide the knife into the supple flesh of their neck. Feel the warm blood cooling as it washes over them. And feel their thoughts begin to swirl down and disappear into the excruciating pain of their spirit, while their ridiculous gestures and shrieks fill the room. Watch as they slowly die, and feel how, step by step, they stop existing as a person, eventually blending in with the other objects in the room. Cold, wet, ghastly, but just another object in the room. How alone you feel as your thoughts return to you, as you remember that you've been watched this entire time. All of the shame, guilt, discomfort, and dread you've ever known. It is now that it begins to spill into your awareness, partially aware of your terrible deeds, but even more aware of your own mortality, acutely aware of your extraordinary confusion. You don't know what to do now with this thing. Should you clean it? Should you hide it? Do you know who it was that has been watching you? What will now happen to you? Now take a few moments to be in this place. Afraid. Useless. Vulnerable. When you are ready to come back, back into the room that you have been in this whole time. Back into your body. Your shallow, superficial thoughts. And your desires for mystical experiences. Take a moment and then open your eyes to your mundane life, keeping with you the empty sensation between your genitals and your asshole. You are now fully aware of the potential within.
The following is an excerpt from Toward the Creative Nothing by Renzo Novatore, a nihilist anarchist who burned down a church, committed robbery, dodged his draft, and avoided his death sentence for treason, and eventually died in a shootout with police. We have killed duty so that our ardent desire for free brotherhood acquires heroic valor in life. We have killed pity because we are barbarians capable of great love. We have killed altruism because we are generous egoists. We have killed philanthropic solidarity so that the social man unearths his most secret eye and finds the strength of the unique. Because we know it. Life is tired of having stunted lovers. Because the earth is tired of feeling itself trampled by long phalanxes of dwarfs chanting Christian prayers. And finally, because we are tired of our brothers, carcasses incapable of peace and war, inferior to hatred and to love. We are tired and disgusted. Yes, quite tired, quite disgusted. And then that voice of the dead, of our dead, the voice of the blood that cries from underground, of the blood that wants to free itself from its prison, to hurl itself towards the sky and to conquer the stars. Those stars, blessing them, sparkled in their pupils at the final moment of death, transforming their dreamy eyes into vast discs of gold. Because the eyes of the dead, of our dead, are discs of gold. They are luminous meteors that wander the infinite to point out the way to us. The way without end that is the pathway to eternity. The eyes of our dead tell us the why of life, showing us the secret fire that burns in our mystery. And that our secret mystery that nobody has sung up to now. But today, the twilight is red. The sunset is covered with blood. We are close to the tragic celebration of the great social dusk. Already on the bells of history, time has struck the first pre-dawn strokes of a new day. Enough! It is the hour of the social tragedy. We will destroy laughing. We will set fires laughing. We will kill laughing. We will expropriate laughing. And society will fall. The fatherland will fall. And the family will fall. All will fall after the free person is born. The one is born who has learned the Dionysian art of joy and laughter through tears and sorrow. The hour has come to drown the enemy in blood. The hour has come to wash our minds in blood. Enough! As the poet transforms his lyre into a dagger, as the philosopher transforms his probe into a bomb, as the fisherman transforms his oar into a formidable axe. As the miner comes up from the unbearable caves of the dark mines, armed with his shining iron. As the farmer transforms his fruitful spade into a war lance. As the laborer transforms his hammer into a scythe and cleaver. And forward, it is time. And society will fall. The fatherland will fall. The family will fall. All will fall after the free person is born. Forward, O joyful destroyers! Beneath the black edge of death, we will conquer life, laughing. And we will make it our slave, laughing. And we will love it, laughing. Since the only serious people are those who know how to be actively engaged, laughing. And our hatred laughs, red laughter. Forward, forward to the destruction of the lie and of the phantoms. Forward for the complete conquest of individuality and of life. Well, uglies, that concludes the premiere episode of Inconsiderate. If you were disappointed in any way, remember that fact is no different than most other aspects of your pathetic life in general, and that we only aspire to be slightly better than monotone Zerzan's Anarchy Radio because we'll never be as good as some media. The next episode is already looking better than this one, so don't pretend like you have better shit to do when it comes out. All of you whiny flesh bags listening can submit your putrid, volatile recordings into the show, and if they aren't completely worthless, they'll probably be included. All audio formats and qualities are accepted, and if you need any help with how to submit or anything else, Google that shit if you're not a moron, or just inquire it in an email. Send your crap to inconsiderateaudio@yahoo.com, hit us up on the Inconsiderate Audio Facebook page, or inconsiderateaudio.anarchyplanet.org.